God, that sounds so good to hear. The twinkly noise, Roger Goodell's voice, the boos that I know are, of course, going to come from the fans in Kansas City. I can't wait for it.
When is it? Tomorrow? I mean, tomorrow. Next week?
It's next week.
Yeah, next week.
Please. Yes.
Am I dreaming?
Please. Willie, all of a sudden, is starting to have a fever, and he's going to be unavailable for the next week. Jonathan Hutton joins us now. Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, we are so close to draft day, so why don't we have a little mock draft of our own? Happy to have you, Hutton.
It is great to be on, and I'm all for this. This is my first and only official mock draft, and it's happening right here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Let's get it going. Let's put it in pen.
Let's get it going. On the clock with the first overall pick is the Carolina Panthers general manager, Derek Mason.
And with the first pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Carolina Panthers selects Stetson. No.
Stetson Bennett might be D-Mace's favorite quarterback.
Yeah, that's my favorite quarterback, man. Seriously, he is my favorite quarterback. But no, they take Bryce Young, quarterback out of Alabama. This kid is just simply magic. And he's going to make magic for Carolina. They will find themselves in a Super Bowl once again. Maybe not this year or next year, but in the future. They will find themselves back in the Super Bowl.
Nothing too spicy there. Mm-mm. Willie D, general manager of the Houston Texans, you are now on the clock, and this is going to be an important one.
Okay. Yeah, I drew the two spot here, and this is what everybody's looking at, right? Where is it going to swing? Is it going to swing? I'm going to be boring. And I'm going to tell you that, like I told you, now we're going to see.
Uh-huh.
We're going to see on Monday, Derek, when we hit the air. Or maybe, no, I guess it would be Friday. Because I thought you were crazy when you started all this. Well, maybe they won't take a quarterback.
Uh-huh.
They're taking a quarterback. CJ Stroud, pick number two.
Willie's not buying the fall.
I'm not buying it. They're going to come back. CJ Stroud is the number two pick.
All right, I am on the board myself. Monty Austin Fort, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. I think on draft night, for the sake of just argument, we're not doing trades here, but I do think on draft night, Arizona will not be taking at three. I think there's going to be something that shakes things up. There's going to be a team that trades up to three. But for right now, where it stands, I'm taking Will Anderson to the Arizona Cardinals.
Hmm.
Hutton, you are on the clock. The Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts are taking Will Levis at number four. And if we can discuss the top three here, I actually think Houston's taking Levis at two.
Really?
I think Levis, I think the Texans are taking a quarterback. I get the sense. I mean, McClain continues to say that they don't like Stroud. So,
and if John McClain says it about Houston, I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, Willie could have convinced me had he announced his pick in John McClain's voice. I would believe him. But I'm taking Will Levis for the Colts, and I'm buying into the quarterbacks not really falling here because there's the need versus, you know, the actual talent that's being passed up. The quarterbacks always get overdrafted. This year with the teams we're discussing, too, these franchises need young QBs. They need to sell hope, and Levis is going number four ahead of Richardson and Hooker.
So you think it might be flipped. You think that Levis will go to Houston and Stroud would go to the Colts?
Yeah. I do think Bryce Young is one. I think Levis goes two to Houston. And then I think Indianapolis, just out of pure fear, just tries to flip-flop picks with Arizona. So Arizona just drops down to four. And I think in that scenario, Indy would move up to draft Stroud. That way they ensured they get the quarterback that they want, no one's going to trump them while Houston's on the clock.
And that is the interesting thing. We're not doing trades, but if all that dynamic, if you feel that somebody's jumping up to three, possibly, and then the first four picks could be quarterbacks. Like if Levis is in the top, if Levis goes two, woo. I mean, how are there not four quarterbacks picked in the first four picks?
And how is there not going to be an all-out floodgate for that number three pick?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that's probably... If what Hutton's is saying is true, there's just a lot more teams that need the hope, need the quarterback than there are quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
D-Mace, you are.
And what a risk. What a risk by Houston. What a risk by Houston guys if they don't go quarterback at
two, will be.
Thinking that they're going to get one at 12. I know they can trade back up into the top 10, but man, you have to find the partner after that. And I just take the guy that is atop my board at the position if I'm Houston.
And if you're trying to trade back into the top 10 to get a quarterback, then just go ahead and take that quarterback at two. You can find another really quality, solid player of need at 12.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you can.
This is the Texans. These are the Texans we're talking about.
Yeah, the Texans and the Jets. You always got to take it with a grain of salt. It's not always going to be the smartest thing that happens. D-Mace, you are on the clock for the Seattle Seahawks. Your pick.
Seattle Seahawks. And with the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Seattle Seahawks selects the wrecking ball in the middle, Jalen Carter.
All right.
This guy, I mean, I would love for the Titans to get him, to pair him with Simmons. Oh, my goodness. That would be a defensive line that is completely unstoppable. But I go Seattle that way because, to me, they have their quarterback at least for the next 3 years in Geno Smith. I think under Pete Carroll and that offense, he's going to get better. Is he an elite quarterback? No, but he's a quarterback that can get you where you want to go, but you're going to need things around him. And they're trying to build up the Legion of Boom again. They are. They need defensive wrecking machines, and Jalen Carter is one of them. They have an offense. They have two receivers. They have a running back in Kenneth Walker. If you watched him at State, you knew this guy was the real deal. He's not a surprise to me. He may be a surprise to a lot of other people, but not to me. He was a physical runner, a home run hitter, and he's displayed that same talent with Seattle. So this offense is built. They have their quarterback for now, but they're trying to – the way they got to the Super Bowl was through their defense in the run game. Pete Carroll is trying to replicate that again.
There's always that guy at the fantasy drafts like, that was my next pick. That was who I wanted. That's me right now. I was ready to make that speech about
Willie D on the clock for Detroit.
Okay, so if it's falling this way, then I'd be very wary about somebody with Mr. Richardson still sitting out there. Somebody's really going to be tempted to grab that sixth pick. But we're not playing that game. So I will say the Lions will put a very nice piece opposite Aiden Hutchinson, who is really good. Lions they're starting to compile some talent here. They've got a good team. Now you throw Tyree Wilson opposite Aiden Hutchinson. I think you've got a pretty darn good front four that you're looking at right there. So I like that fit for the Lions. Yeah, but could you trade down and get him? Could you trade down a couple slots and get him? Maybe. Maybe. But
they need somebody to pair with Aiden Hutchinson. And they need some corners, too. I think Detroit needs some corners.
Yeah, that's the choice.
Too. Yeah.
So I went with the edge. My thing is the corners automatically get better if you have a great pass rush.
You're right.
I'm on the clock now for the Vegas Raiders. The Raiders have an atrocious defense.
they do.
Need some help defensively. But y'all are crazy if you're going to let Anthony Richardson fall to 7. Jimmy G is not their quarterback of the future. Give me Anthony Richardson with the number 7 overall pick to the Vegas Raiders. Hutton, okay. You
that sets
are
the
now,
board here.
You are now on the clock for the Falcons.
That sets the board here for the Atlanta Falcons. And for the life of me, I don't know why they haven't invested more in quarterback. And, man, this sounds crazy. I think Hendon Hooker's in play for the Falcons. Ooh. I'm not taking him, though. Mm-hmm. They need – you want to talk about atrocious defense. They need to get younger and faster. And they've done a nice job. They've done a nice job acquiring in free agency better pieces. But I am looking at either corner or edge, and I'm going with Christian Gonzalez at corner. Tall, fast, man-to-man corner. Mm-hmm. Played at Colorado, transferred to Oregon, and he's an instant plug-and-play guy for a defense that is desperate for help on the outside. I'm taking the best corner on the board, and the Atlanta Falcons get them at pick number 8 in this draft.
And per Dane Brugler's big board, he's the fifth best player in this draft. If you can get the fifth best player with the 8th overall pick, Whew, pretty solid deal there. D-Mace, you're on the clock for the Chicago Bears.
Oh, man, the Chicago Bears. Who do they have? Offensively, they're okay. Defensively, much better. If you want to see what you have truly in Justin Fields, you got to continue to protect him. So either you can go one or two ways. I'm going offensive lineman. So either you can go Paris Johnson Jr. or Peter Skoronski. I'm going to go Peter Skoronski because you can plug him in at guard. He can be your tackle if somebody goes down. So he's sort of like that swing player. But if you're talking about a guy that, you know, you want him to be an all-pro player, he could be an all-pro player at the guard position. Mm-hmm. So you plug him in at guard. That further helps Justin Fields in that offense.
Willie D, you are on the clock for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. I am going to just say, you know what? You got a pretty doggone good team. You don't need to – you can sort of cherry pick here. Mm-hmm. I see a guy that is very talented that is still sitting there that, you know, that at a position they have not really invested in. And so I'm going to take Mr. Robinson from Texas.
I was wondering when he was going.
Bijan Robinson.
Interesting. Okay, Bijan Robinson to the Eagles at 10.
Bijan, I've seen as high. I mean, I'm looking at ESPN. I guess this is Todd McShay with his rank. He has Robinson the second best player, just regardless of need. He's got him listed second.
He's flown up the charts, up the board as of lately.
But you got a lot of good stuff.
I think he could be in play for Atlanta, too. Atlanta, I mean, just how their offense is built. It's kind of like what we're seeing at Ole Miss with quarterbacks. Arthur Smith loves running backs.
I was a little bit surprised, Hutton, when you didn't take Bijan Robinson to the Falcons, because look at how successful an Arthur Smith offense can be when you plug in a really solid running back there. I think that's...
Who needs quarterbacks when you have running backs?
Exactly. That's the philosophy in this town, at least. Coming up next, we all are the GMs for the Tennessee Titans. We all have our picks for the Titans if the board falls this way. We will reveal our picks coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Hutton is with us as well. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Ooh. Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Welcome to the Caroline Willie D-Mace mock draft. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick's Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow joins us as well. We picked the top 10. Carolina is taking Bryce Young. That was general manager D-Mace's pick. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud to Houston. Will Anderson, number 3 overall, to Arizona. Will Levis to Indianapolis. Jalen Carter to Seattle. Tyree Wilson to Detroit. The Raiders taking Anthony Richardson at 7. The Falcons taking Christian Gonzalez. Chicago taking Peter Skoronski and Bijan Robinson to the Philadelphia Eagles, which leaves Rand Carthon on the clock with the 11th overall pick. Hutton, you are our guest. Now, we all have a pick for number 11 for how the board has fallen. Hutton, you are our guest. You take the honors. The first number 11 pick for the Tennessee Titans. Who do they select?
So let me get this right. I'm not allowed to select anyone that's been selected, right?
Correct.
Yep.
It's draft night, Hutton. They took their picture with their jersey.
You can't steal somebody else's pick.
So I like Skoronski. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think he fits kind of everything that they want to do on the offensive line, and I think he can play tackle because he's got – look, I'm no scout, but he's got short arms is what I'm told. But he's great, great feet, very athletic. Mm-hmm. That's perfect for run blocking. He's not available here. Personally, in this scenario, I think the Titans would be wise to trade back. I think a lot of teams want to trade back. But I am buying in to all of the investment that they have made at quarterback. Seriously. I think that they know that they need to upgrade. They have a situation where they can trade Ryan Tannehill after the draft, save cap room. They also aren't in a situation where they have to if they need a quarterback to sit and wait and learn. I think there is great value in Hendon Hooker at number 11. And based on how this board fell. So I'm going quarterback Hendon Hooker with my pick. However, I am so tempted, guys, to be very boring and just take the next tackle on the board. Because this offensive line was atrocious. But I'm I'm willing and dealing. I'm rolling the dice, and I'm saying, hey, let's use what we have to our advantage. Ryan Tannehill has the fourth best win percentage of any quarterback since 2019. We know we can win with him whenever he's healthy. Hopefully, fingers crossed, but if he's not healthy, Hendon Hooker can be by that time. And I trust Hendon Hooker more than I trust Malik Willis. And I also know that there are going to be other teams clamoring for him in this first round. I'm either trading the pick to a team that wants Hooker, or I'm drafting him. In this case, I'm drafting him.
I like it. Mm. I like
it. There we go.
Hutton, you said if you could, you can't take anybody that was already taken. If you could, would that be Peter Skoronski, or would it be another quarterback?
Yeah. No, I would have gone with Skoronski. And which in my argument here, I mean, honestly, they need help on the offensive line. They've invested $55 million annually on defensive line. I think they're going to build this team back the same way. And they're either trading up and going after the quarterback of the future that's not going to be Hendon Hooker, or they're going to stick and pick and I think go offensive line. But I'm really hoping that we have a storyline like the one I'm suggesting more than just analyzing offensive linemen next week.
Willie Donick, you are on the clock for the Tennessee Titans.
Okay. I am a little bit like Hutton here. If it falls this way and the big four quarterbacks are all gone and it was too rich to move up, mm-hmm. let's just say that that's reason. I really do like the idea of trading down if there's a taker, mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. grabbing another pick or two. I love the dartboard and getting more tosses at the board here. But if you're sticking at 11, it looks to me like you got a choice of going with a tackle, which is a big position to need, or the way I'm going to go. Correct me if I'm wrong. Mr. Witherspoon is still out there?
He is still on
the
board.
He, to me, would be the, quote, best player available by consensus. And, you know, you never have enough good corners. I'm going to take Mr. Witherspoon from Illinois.
I can understand that pick. They are, you know, that cornerback position has been beat up for the Tennessee Titans with the exception of McQuarrie. I think he's more so fitted for the inside. He held his own at times on the outside as a rookie. And he wasn't bad, but, you know, he still has a lot of growing to do. But I think he's more suited to be a slot guy mm-hmm. than an outside guy. But I like McQuarrie. He's physical. But adding another corner wouldn't be a bad choice for the Tennessee Titans if they don't move out that 11th pick.
Who is your pick for the Tennessee Titans?
My pick, and I'm with the guys. I just think if the board goes the way we have said it may go, or our board, then I think they trade out of that 11th pick and they trade down to try to accumulate more picks, because to me, the only way you stay at that pick or move up is if one of those quarterbacks you like is there mm-hmm. and you feel you got to move up a spot or two to get them. And if they're not there, then, okay, what do? We move down. I don't think they're going to take a receiver, so I'm giving you a little heads up on that. But if they stay at the number 11 spot, I'm going hometown. I'm going Darnell Wright, the tackle Ooh. Out of UT. I think he excelled at the right tackle position this past season. He's more so suited for the guard position. The Titans need a guard. And if, you know, say if, you know, the right tackle, Nicholas, doesn't come back ready to go, he hasn't improved, well, you can slide him over to the right tackle because he has some experience at the right tackle position. So this is a guy that you can either put at guard or tackle. I think they're going to put him at guard. And like Hutt said, they're going to build this offensive line back up, because to me, that's the only way they can consistently win, is that they have a good offensive line and a good defensive line.
So if I'm on the board now, mm-hmm. the number 11 pick, I'm going boring. I did consider Devin Witherspoon. I did. Because I think, per Dane Brugler's big board, he has him ranked as the 9th best player in this year's draft. And if he's still on the board at 11, it's tempting to take him. But I go back to 2021 when the Titans had one of the best defenses in the league. And they had Jackrabbit Jenkins playing corner and a banged up Caleb Farley playing corner. And if I'm investing as much money in the defensive guys up front as the Tennessee Titans are, then I'm expecting it. Hey, my guys up front got to take care of business. You take care of the quarterback. The corner's job is a whole lot easier. The problem now is the offensive line. So I'm going to take Paris Johnson, which is such a boring pick now that we've spent the last few months talking about quarterback and trading up. That stepping away with Paris Johnson at 11 probably doesn't feel as fun or as sexy, but it takes care of a need. He's a guy that's consensus, either best offensive lineman in this year's draft, if not the second best offensive lineman in this year's draft behind Peter Skoronski. So I would have the Titans taking Paris Johnson.
The only reason I didn't go Paris Johnson, because I truly believe they think they have their left tackle of the future in Andre Dillard. That's why I didn't go Paris Johnson. Now, maybe he can play one of the guard positions, but I think if you want to get the most out of him, he is a tackle. But I just think, to me, they went out purposely, I think, and targeted Andre Dillard to bring him in to be their left tackle. So I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's why I didn't go Paris Johnson. I went
totally fair.
Right.
Totally fair. Our thoughts overall, if the Titans walk away with potentially a Hendon Hooker, that's a spicy one, Hutton. I like that pick.
They love you, Hutt.
Hutton, what do you think the chances are that you could trade down and get Hooker? I feel like you could do that. If you really like Hooker, you could trade down and get him.
Based on our board, yes. If Houston doesn't draft quarterback at 2, I think they're rolling the dice trying to get Hendon Hooker at 12. There's also a scenario, Willie, where we're all wrong, just like last year. And I mean, at this time last year, Malik Willis was a top 20 pick, you know? And we see several quarterbacks fall. And there's a run on offensive tackle. Maybe Jackson Smith and Jigba is drafted higher than expected. And all of a sudden, there's a quarterback run through the teens. That's also beneficial for Tennessee. They're in a good spot because of Green Bay picking at 13 now and then Houston at 12. And what the quarterback need could be and the offensive tackle position could mean for both of those teams. I think the flashing sign for the Titans at 11 based on our board would be wide receiver based on need. But I think that need is going to be addressed in the second and third rounds with the speed elements that are there, but not necessarily the elite talents that get talked about year after year. I like second round guys, just initially, Josh Downs from North Carolina comes to mind around the 40s. Like I'm playing the Houston game and rolling the dice and getting a guy like him there rather than drafting Jackson Smith and Jigba and a slot receiver from college and trying to move him around as a piece to the puzzle. I feel like I can find the same type of wide receivers better than I can find the same type of elite offensive lineman in this draft or a developmental quarterback slash potential starter for me whenever Tannehill leaves in a year.
Hutton, are you buying the C.J. Stroud fall?
I mean, it's crazy, but yeah. I mean, I fall meaning where, though? Like, if he falls to 4, I don't know if that's a fall.
Fair.
I'm buying in that Houston doesn't draft him. I mean, it's just how things have flipped. It's just nuts. I would draft him, personally. Like, If we're going to discuss Will Levis and, oh, well, he did this, but he didn't have the offensive line like he did the year prior. He didn't have the run game because Chris Rodriguez was suspended and he lost some receivers in the draft. Oh, that's all fair. But then the knock on C.J. Stroud is, oh, but he did it with a great offensive line and great wide receivers. And I'm just thinking, like, yeah, so did many quarterbacks over the years that are drafted high. I realize it's more than just numbers, and it's about ball placement. And you know, can you sit into a room and talk ball with an offensive coordinator that fits that same tone and the same type of system and everything that you're doing? But man, I would have a hard time passing on C.J. Stroud if I'm Houston. But it sounds like they're going to. And then Arizona, you know, the reports are Arizona doesn't have or hasn't fielded many trade requests yet. But that's not going to happen necessarily. With the best offer, I should say. I'm sure some preliminary things have happened. But the best offer is not going to come until the teams behind Arizona know who's available after Houston goes on the clock. So you're not going to trade up and be blind on what quarterback's there. I'm fascinated by that. And, you know, the league is known for manufacturing hype, and they've done it here once again, where they'll devote – they have over 600 prepackaged video elements that they will be playing tomorrow night on ABC and ESPN. That's crazy.
Jeez. I mean, they absolutely have made it a must-see TV. And I'm with you with Arizona. The reports are, no, they're just dying for somebody to just pick up the phone and call about the number three overall pick. I think everyone is waiting to see what Houston does at number three, at number two. If Houston takes a Will Anderson and Tyree Wilson. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Just briefly, Rand Carthon, they are very unpredictable because of how he approaches his first draft. And I am so fascinated to see how aggressive he'll be or patient he'll be. And you can have both. You can be aggressive and move up and get your guy and have to stay patient for a year because you're giving up draft capital in order to do it. But that will signal a lot for what's on the horizon and what was pitched whenever he got the job.
That's what I think one of the many reasons that makes the Titans such a wild card this year is we have no sample size of Rand Carthon's draft tendencies. And I'm really excited to get our first peek behind that. Hutton, appreciate you as always. Enjoy draft night tomorrow night. We'll chat with you next week.
I always enjoy this, guys. You guys have a great rest of the show, and hopefully I'll catch up with you Thursday or Friday.
Awesome, Hutton. Appreciate you. We'll react to that coming up next. You've got some thoughts. We've got some thoughts. We'll do that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Join Jared Stillman, D-Mace, and Crazy Chris Sanders as they broadcast live tomorrow from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of 29-degree beer. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Tune in to Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, for the first three rounds on Thursday and Friday of this week. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, the newcumberland.com, Smoky Mountain Tops, Parman Energy, B&B Flooring, and the Nashville Sheriff. Willie, you brought up something at the break. That if CJ Stroud falls to 11, the Titans have to take. Yes, I think we would all agree, consensus. CJ Stroud's at 11.
You could trade down for a boatload if he's sitting there at 11. I don't know if he'll get to 11. But CJ Stroud was – he granted – I don't know where he was. It was hard to tell from the video. We just saw it with no sound. NFL Network just played it. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing this – today – what is today? Is today the 26th?
Today's 26th. The 26th.
One more day, Willie.
So this was today
that
he did this, and somebody from a Detroit newspaper asked him a couple questions, including about the S2 cognition test, and he said, "It's football. I'm not a test taker. The people making the picks know what I can do," Stroud said. So, he's heard everything. That's what that tells me. He may not exactly be sure what he did or didn't do on the test. Like, I don't know if he knows exactly, but he doesn't seem to be too worried about it.
I mean, okay, let's look at it from this standpoint. The GMs, scouts, or whatnot, they evaluate him on the field. They watch the film. They like what they love what they've seen over the course of the last 2 years from CJ Stroud and from Bryce Young. And they like Will Levis, what he did 2 years ago, not necessarily what he did last year, but they understand he has some limitations with the roster, so he couldn't do as much. Okay. Richardson is a guy that they are just going off potential. They saw a lot that they liked, but then they saw a lot that he needed to grow from as a quarterback. So they watched all his tape, and then they brought them, said quarterbacks, into the room, whether it be the combine or individual workouts. And from what we gather and know, they put all of them on a big board and say, hey, listen, because we heard about Bryce Young. They were like, man, they were raving over Bryce Young. Like, this kid knows exactly what he's doing. So they had them all in the big room writing up plays and what would you do in this coverage? What would you do? What were you thinking here? So all of this was going on. Once that was done, nothing ever came out disparaging about CJ Stroud. Nothing. He did great in the one-on-one meetings. In the big board. He did. That's everything that was coming out. And then I can see why now he's frustrated. One, he doesn't know the score. But then two, I take the score. Now, all of a sudden, because of a score, y'all are knocking me. The GMs and the scouts and the head coaches had me in a room in a big board. And obviously I did great on the big board. So now y'all are knocking me for a part of a score. I don't even know if it's the whole score. But a part of a score, which lead me to believe this is crap. All of it's crap. Because to me, if I'm a GM and I bring you, Willie, or you, Caroline, in, and I want to draft one of you, I put y'all on the big board, y'all quarterbacks, and I take y'all through a whole game, and I give you the clicker, and you tell me what's going on, and you answer everything, you go through the whole defense, you're finding things, and you're, as a GM and as a head coach, I'm like, this dude's great, like. Okay.
Yeah, like when Gruden would get the guy in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So now all of a sudden a test come out. Am I supposed to then go back on what I just saw and what I just saw this kid do on the blackboard and in film room? So now because of part of a test, I don't know if it's all a test, part of a test, am I now supposed to say I'm not drafting this kid? After what I've seen him do on the field, after what I've seen him do in the classroom, his personality is great. Everything seemed to be great about this kid. But all of a sudden, this 18 come out. At this right, like, what, it's the 12th hour, the 23rd hour, it comes out. Am I then, as a GM, supposed to say, you know what, all this stuff that I didn't see about this kid, I don't care who it was, Will Levis, Bryce Young.
Stetson Bennett,
my guy. So I'm now supposed to basically forget all of what I just saw and all of what I just went through and just rely solely on that test and say, nope, I'm not drafted.
That
I am not going to believe that.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
But what's interesting is if you believe the article, there is a pretty good track record, albeit not 20 years worth of data, but since teams have been using this, and remember, only half of the teams have the data. Mm-hmm. Truly subscribe to the data, and S2 caps it at 50. These are the things that I didn't know when the article came out that we've learned over the last few days. Mm-hmm. So the Titans have access to the data. This is a compelling question. If there's a free fall, Stroud sitting at the 11, and the Titans have the data. Remember Rand Carthon. I'm just learning about S2. I'm new to S2. I'm learning about it.
Yeah, right.
Now, remember, he brought in his guy from Green Bay, mm-hmm. analytics guy, weighs in. You know, he'll have all the track records. Okay, here's what the S2 has. These are all the scores. This is how the quarterbacks have done it. How much stock do you put in this thing? That will be the question. And a lot of teams, they don't have the data anyway. So it's like, well, we're just going by the way we've always evaluated quarterbacks.
Which means
I don't think it'll be
by
there
interviews.
I don't think so.
And tape and workouts. That's how, especially if I don't have access to the S2. So what are these teams that don't have access to? Or are they they are relying on the things that they've relied on for many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there is a good bit of caution mm-hmm. or red flag that comes up when it says never has a quarterback who scored poorly on the S2 been successful in the NFL. But I do have to ask the question, well, how many quarterbacks? Mm-hmm. Is it just one that had a really bad score and that quarterback just ended up being poor in the NFL? Who were they? Were they, you know, jabronis from East West North Carolina State University?
Well, there's a lot of failed quarterbacks out there.
Were destined for greatness and scored poorly on the S2 and then didn't pan out in the NFL? Well, then that doesn't really mean much to me. Or was it?
But what if you saw a list that had a little bit more compelling
stuff?
Was
it quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray? Mm-hmm. First,
the article doesn't
picks?
Tell us. But if you, I would think, if you subscribe to S2, if you bought the data, mm-hmm. you have access to that data and you could hash that out among your own people. Just another tool among the many tools
that can't be,
to evaluate. Now, the question is, do you dive into this as if it's the new end-all, be-all, the breakthrough that everybody... Probably not. You wouldn't be smart to do that. But you'd be smart to answer the questions that you just asked. Mm-hmm. Right, Carolina? You paid the money. Mm-hmm. Use the data.
So
do you like that? You know, see what you find out.
So would they... Because we don't know. So if a team has access to the S2... Do they also have access to the prior scores of the individuals who took the S2. Name, not just, John Doe. I need names.
I would guess so. You paid for the data.
You paid for the data for that year. You didn't pay for the data for previous years.
Well, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We don't know the answer.
Yeah, we don't know.
It also sounds to me, with that quote from C.J. Stroud, just the body language and just reading the quote. And we didn't see the whole clip. I'd like to see the video of the whole thing.
Can we play that, Nick?
Do we have the whole thing?
I'm not a test taker, so I play football for me. But at the end of the day, man, I don't got nothing to prove to nobody. So I'm not going to sit here and explain how I process football. The people who are making the picks know what I can do. So that's all that matters to me. There's a whole bunch of people who know how to coach better, know how to play quarterback better, know how to do everything on social media. But that man in the arena, that's what's tough, is stepping in the arena 10 toes. So, and I'm going to stand on that. And I know what I can do. I know I can process well. I know if I'm not the smartest quarterback in this draft, I know I'm one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL when I step in there tomorrow. So I got confidence in myself. And I don't think you can play at Ohio State and not be smart. So I don't got nothing to prove to nobody, man. At the end of the day, if you don't trust and believe in me, all I can tell you is watch this.
Okay, so it sounded to me like
he's frustrated.
He's very frustrated. It sounded like he kind of blew off the test.
Yeah, that could be a possibility too. And I think we talked about that when it all came out. Like maybe he didn't go in with the attitude of, okay, I need to, you know. But then again, we don't know if that was an 18 on an overall or just 18 on a part of the test.
Right. We don't have all the stuff. Yeah, but let's just take, for argument's sake, in a general sense, he probably didn't do as well on the test as a lot of these other guys.
Let's continue the conversation.
If you want to even call it a test.
Evaluation. Caroline Willie DeVase, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I'm not a test taker, so I play football for me. But at the end of the day, man, I don't got nothing to prove to nobody. So I'm not going to sit here and explain how I process football. The people who are making the picks know what I can do. So that's all that matters to me. There's a whole bunch of people who know how to coach better, know how to play quarterback better, know how to do everything on social media. But that man in the arena, that's what's tough, is stepping in the arena 10 toes. So, and I'm going to stand on that. And I know what I can do. I know I can process well. I know if I'm not the smartest quarterback in this draft, I know I'm one of the smartest quarterbacks in the NFL when I step in there tomorrow. So I got confidence in myself. And I don't think you can play at Ohio State and not be smart. So I don't got nothing to prove to nobody, man. At the end of the day, if you don't trust and believe in me, all I can tell you is watch this.
Woo! That was C.J. Stroud today, responding to a lot of the reports and speculation about his low S2 score. You know, I don't blame him for being frustrated.
Mm-hmm. I don't either, but what?
Watch what you're saying around this time of year.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have granted that interview or if I'm standing next to him and I'm sort of his advisor. I might say, let's just not say anything. But I think it's important for those that may be just jumping on board here to remember that the S2 is not a quote test, like you open up a book and you start answering questions. It's a cognitive reaction. It's not a test like a school test. As I'm hearing CJ give that answer, it's almost like he's taking offense as if the test means that he's not a smart guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and let me say this. I played at Vanderbilt. We had a lot of people that were really smart in the classroom who were not smart players.
Oh, I've seen that.
And the opposite.
I've seen that a lot.
And the opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Really smart players who really struggled in the classroom. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they were not having trouble keeping up. So you can see a wide range of that. Mm-hmm. But it sounded like he's almost saying, this test, you're trying to say that I'm not as smart. But this test is not about that. Right? I think that's important to point out. Whereas the Wonderlic, I can see how some people are saying, The Wonderlic does not really indicate anything whatsoever. I don't hear anybody talking about the Wonderlic anymore. But this is different. We just got to make sure people know that.
Yeah, it is. And you can hear the frustration in his voice. I think, and again, listen, your representative can't follow you everywhere you go. They can't be with you everywhere you go. But that's one of those situations where you wish your representative was there or your PR person was there, which that person might have been somewhere in the vicinity. I don't know. But that's one of those deals where it's like, okay, we're not answering that. We're not talking about the test.
Yeah.
We're moving on from the test. We're preparing for the draft, which is in a couple of days, and that's it. Well, he did the interview today. To draft is tomorrow. That's all I'm concerned with, you know, and sort of moving on from there because he's taking it personal. And I can't sit here knowing what that is like, not necessarily being potentially a first pick in the draft. I don't know what that is like at all, but I know what it's like going through that process of being potentially, you know, drafted mm-hmm. to the NFL. It's a lot. It's frustrating. It's stressful, everything else. So I understand why he's frustrated. I get it. I understand. And anybody that doesn't, you haven't been in that position to say, well, why is he so frustrated? Why? Because this is his livelihood. Like, this will affect his money. Like, where he goes will affect.
This is his
career. Exactly. So he is frustrated, and the frustration is coming out. That's why I'm like, man, his PR person should have been next to him or something to try to say, hey, listen, we're not answering that question. The draft is tomorrow. That's all we're concerned about. We're not concerned about the test.
That's my thing. I don't blame C.J. Stroud for being frustrated, mm-hmm. nervous, anxious, all of the feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm sure him and every other draft-eligible player, they're feeling the anxiety. Mm-hmm. But this time of year, when everything can and will be used against you in a court of the NFL draft, mm-hmm. just don't talk. Yeah. Talk. Don't
you
say anything.
You gotta watch what you say.
Watch what you say. Watch the... you know, nobody believes in me. I'll show you. I'll prove you wrong. While that should be his mentality. It's everything you say will be nitpicks, and everything that you say will be, you know, will be heard across NFL circles. So watch what you say. But I will say this about CJ Stroud. If 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the line, C.J. Stroud has a Super Bowl ring. C.J. Stroud's been to the Pro Bowl. C.J. Stroud elevates his team to where they expected him to elevate it to, and even beyond that, that's going to dictate how we view S2 in the future. Because now it's the new thing. It's high tech. There's so much intelligence that has gone into this test. And now his score has been reported so heavily. We're all talking about it. We've all been talking about it for days. That if C.J. Stroud goes out there and absolutely balls out, then we'll say, okay, well, then a low S2 score, that means nothing. Look at C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. And I think S2 would probably tell you, well, look, there's always outliers, right? Totally. We're just showing the data across the board. Remember, this is not just quarterbacks that take it. Mm-hmm. It's all kinds of football players, all positions, all sports. The first time I ever heard of it, Joe Rexroad wrote an article about how Vanderbilt baseball was using this, right?
Yeah.
So this is across the board. So S2 will stick by their data, right, and say, look, this is not an absolute. We know this, right? In life, you should know that. But it is interesting. I am curious if S2 is still – is it going to continue to grow in a increasing tool that teams use in 5 to 10 years? Or 10 years from now, we look back and say, remember that old thing? What was it called? The S2? The R2-D2? What was it called again? You know, I wonder if it will
C2,
stick in
C2 what? Like yeah. I was calling it for a few days.
We'll talk about it how we talk about the Wonderlic now. Yeah. Like, who cares about that? That was
right,
so dumb
right.
Anyways. Let's get some of your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David in Arkansas, Texan, says, I'm not a fan of C.J. Stroud's attitude, especially when he's unproven in the league. It reminded me of Malik Willis and his pushback in his press conference after the game. He said he has nothing to prove, but yet he has everything to prove. There's a point to be confident, but not cocky. I don't know if he's cocky. I think that C.J. Stroud, and this is something that a lot of, you know, evaluators and agents have said, he's a very aloof personality and attitude. It's very, you know, he's even keel. It's one attitude, you know, one monotone way that he says things. It's just, you know, it's highs and lows, none of that. It's right there. So that kind of think that's coming out a little bit combined with a whole lot of frustration. Mm-hmm. But either way, there's going to be a whole lot of people who don't give him the benefit of the doubt for the way that he kind of responded to those questions.
Yeah, it's coming from frustration. I think this is what people got to understand. There's a fine line. And when I say fine line, I mean it's a fine line. It's
paper thin.
It's like paper. It probably even thinner than that. From arrogance and just being confident in yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a fine line. And in sports, I'm only saying in sports, hell, I think if you're a CEO and you're running a huge company, You got to have a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. You do. Mm-hmm. You got to have that little bit. So when you say,
tell me Joe Burrow doesn't have a little cockiness.
Joe Burrow he's cocky.
He's so cocky.
I love it. I love it because it's a sense of aura and arrogance. It's like he's not an arrogant person in life, but when I'm talking about my game, like Michael Jordan, when I talk about something I know, my game, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm arrogant because I know I'm the best. LeBron James. I know I'm the best, and I've proven it. I proved it over 20 years now. So there's nothing you can tell me that's going to make me think anything other.
But the difference is CJ Stroud doesn't have a body.
Exactly.
So and there are those that talk it and aren't. It's a little bit of a false bravado.
Exactly.
Right?
But I think this is his. He's not. He balances that. You know, he's cocky and. It seems like he's cocky and confident and arrogant on the field when he's doing what he needs to do as the quarterback. He doesn't say much. At least I didn't hear him say much or anything, and maybe they didn't let him talk. But, you know, in college, they don't let anybody talk if you're a player.
Probably for the best.
But you didn't see that on the – you saw a guy that was sure of himself, confident, and he led his team to victories. Mm-hmm. That's what you want on the field. I want a quarterback that's cocky. I want a quarterback that's arrogant. I want a quarterback that's confident if they can back it up. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's what you need. All the great ones, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, you look at Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is probably – he's probably as cocky as they come.
But he
can back it up. Mm-hmm. As long as you can back it up, like y'all said, as long as you can back it up, that's fine. He backed it up in college. Now he has to back it up in the NFL. I have no problem because it doesn't seem like he's that way off the field, but his frustrations are coming out now. That's why, like you two said, somebody should have been there because everything you say will be used against you.
100%.
Moving forward.
And now, you know, your slate's wiped clean. Nobody cares about what you did in college anymore. Mm. Show me what you can do in the NFL. Yeah. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones on that, but we're talking quarterbacks. So D-Mace will present his quarterback breakdown. He watched the film. He will give his entire breakdown of this quarterback class. All of that coming up next on Caroline Billy D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.